So welcome. He said all about me and more. And then, of course, Mr. Thomas Lathras, word of welcome. And this great Sunday school presentation, which made me very nostalgic. We thank God that God has appointed us for many, many years to work among children. That ministry we still continue. When we were welcomed in this fabulous way, I remember the reality that two things which keep going keep you going in your senior age as you grow old are the things that you are given an impression that you are still wanted and you are loved. And that's true also. So this parish loves us. And these words of warm welcome reiterate that fact that we are still remembered. I recognize very many faces, and you think that I am not growing old. I am really an old man, but I keep myself young. I took the example from the women of Chicago Martoma Church. They dye their hair, so I do. So, thank you very much, Ms. Lathra, and all the members here, once again, and the beloved Achans. As Achan reminded, last week we had a Thanksgiving celebration with Solomon Achan's family and the Achan in Indiana. That was a great occasion. And then, we were traveling here in this country and Canada from 11th of October until now. First, we attended the Diocesan Women's Conference in New York. Then we went to Toronto for the dedication of the new church. Then we attended the St. Matthew's Church. Then we went to Detroit, then to Chicago, and then to South Florida, all my former parishes. And then came to our daughter's place in Augusta, and then finally we celebrated Thanksgiving in our son's and wife's place at Indianapolis. This is a great time. God gave us good health to travel. As most of you know, that my wife is a living miracle. She underwent a surgery 18 years ago for papillary carcinoma thyroid. That's the cancer of thyroid. She underwent 29 radiations, but still she takes classes for Sunday school teachers training. So thank you for remembering us and our families. Once again, we request you to continue to uphold us in your prayer. Today, I wanted to make an assorted sermon, but because of the great presentation made by the Sunday school people, I don't have to say much about World Sunday School Day at all. That's where this Sunday school, I can understand this, a very good Sunday school here, and dedicated Sunday school teachers and superintendents. I congratulate all of you, and also for this comprehensive presentation. So that part of assortment is over, but to young parents, I have a message. I'm an elderly priest. I've seen generations coming here, migrating, last 45 years. Generation 2 and 3, and even the 4th generation, I have witnessed. So the young parents, I have only one message. I'm very sure my young friends also will listen. You will also become parents. So we need to think about programming our children. I am making this statement with caution. I have stayed in many of your houses. Everything is programmed. You enter the door side of your house, nobody switches on the light, the sensor switches on the light. Your garbage can, I was foolish enough to try to lift it, it doesn't lift, but I read on the top, it says lift, then I pressed, it opened. You program your house for its security when you go for holidays. You program your babysitting such a way that the baby is not left out of a care, without a caretaker. You program your health by regularly going to the doctor, undergoing procedures which are required, and also young people going to the gym. In the same way, I am saying that young parents should learn to program their children. Then you will ask me, what is the ethics of that statement? Children are different human beings, different from us. Shouldn't we allow them to grow in freedom and to do whatever they want to do? Yes, certainly, yes, this is a free country, country of freedom. But then, the children, my question to you will be, why should God choose you to be a parent to that child? If you have nothing to do with the child, only feeding bottles and baby foods, that's all? More than that, certainly. If that child is given from heaven, fearfully and wonderfully made to your family, then you need to program the child. Of course, you program the child means you are systematic in taking his or her physical needs. Similarly, you must take care of the child's mental and spiritual needs. Children born to the Christian parents should come up as Christian children. You must teach them. Now Bila and we go around the country and tell them, by the time your child is 4 years old, that child should learn our Father, the Ten Commandments, if possible the Nicene Creed, 23rd Psalm. Your 4 year old child can do that. Your 1 year old child can press the button and on your television or whatever gadget. Your 2 year child can play on the tablet. Your 5 year old can do everything with your smartphone. Then why not this? So take this very seriously. I don't want to cast aspersion on my senior friends, but I think I have the moral authorities to say that. In our rat race of making money and building good houses and making our life comfortable here in this country materially, some of us have forgotten to program our children. They are lost forever. This is the reality I have seen after my visit, after 40, 45 years. Of course, I have come in between. They are not with you. They have not lived up according to your aspirations of bringing up children. They left you in disappointment. You will forgive me for saying this. As I said, I have the moral authority to say this. So young friends, when you have children, program the children in such a way, you lead them only up to 18 years. You don't have to lead. Bila, Montessori trainer, she says, by the time the child is 4 or 5 years, growth is over. Like, if you want to keep a big basket, the basket of the life of your child, its size is already determined. You may fill that basket with different things. That's the message I want to give to you on this Sunday school day. Second assorted thing, you'll bear with me, I'll take a little more. My sermon time, my friends know, is 8 to 10 minutes. Today I'll take a little more, allow this old man to do that. Second thing is about today's Annunciation. The Gabriel came and told that Virgin Mary that she will become the mother of Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, the Savior. And she received that God's will in her mind. I want to talk about Mary. Many people, when in Marthoma Church, think that we have nothing to do with Mary. That's not true. We start the communion. Oh Lord Jesus,
How does it start? Born of Mary. That's how our communion starts. And in our intercession also today, we'll remember Mary. We respect Mary. We see her as the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the model woman on this earth ever lived. But the only difference we have with the Roman Catholic Church or Orthodox Church is that we do not believe in the intercession of Mary. Like, we do not go to Mother Mary and say, Mother, go and please intercede, speak on my behalf to your son. We don't do that. We go directly to the son. Maybe the other thing, intercession of, we don't condemn it, we respect it, people of that faith. That's about Mary. When we think about Mary, we notice two things. One is, in contrast with Elizabeth, her cousin, her husband, a priest like me, they were praying for children, even when they are old. They did not give up praying. But the angel says, God has heard your prayers. So I think this husband and wife, Elizabeth and Zachariah, said that you cannot bear a children, that age is over, but let's pray for a child. They were routine. And then the angel says, your prayer is heard. But Zachariah said, I don't believe it. This is the difficulty with preachers. We preach and we impress on the people, but we don't believe. Then God punished him. Don't believe. You will not speak. You will be dumb. You are already dumb. You will be double dumb by not speaking until the child is born. But Mary is asking a simple question. Very simple, genuine question. You said, I am going to be a mother. I am not married. I don't know my husband then. He said, yes. Angel gives an explanation. Very simple explanation. The Spirit of God will come on you and you will bear a child. And you will go. Then the what Mary said, let those things happen as the Lord wishes. I surrender. Mary's example, I want to take only one point and finish that assortment. That is, in your life, what do you want? Do you want success or do you want obedience and faithfulness? I have attended many anniversaries of the churches. The secretary will come and say, we have many success stories to say. Or he will read, under, we have a 100 million church. No, it goes on. Success stories. In Mary's life, that was not the question. A virgin becoming pregnant, it's not a success story. It's a very traumatic experience. She has to go and hide herself. And also, he had a boyfriend, Joseph. If he comes to know about this, broken relations. So Mary did not think of any of this when she just affirmed, okay, let it happen to me. I am the mate, the servant of the Lord. So this is a day, time when you have to make a choice between success and faithfulness in your life. Maybe you have to take traumatic experience to be a faithful servant of the Lord. Parents, in making decision about your children, about your job, other things. So that's a great example we have to take from the life of Mary. Now I'll close. That is, we had 50 years of Reformation. 50 years of Reformation. Martin Luther, I know most of you know, 50 years ago, 29th of October, he went to the, he was a very staunch Catholic priest. He went and wrote 95 things he does not like about the church. 95 theses, it is known as. He went to his church, Germany, Wittenberg, and put nails so that all the parishioners can read it. This was 500 years ago. And then the Lutheran Church came out of that, you know, the Reformation, the Protestants. I'm not going into that. In that, if you summarize all those 95 theses, he said, in those days there were receipts, coupons, paid by the given by the church for the forgiveness of sin. If you do some bad things, sin, you go to the priest and pay $100. You get a forgiveness. God has forgiven your sins. You kill somebody, you pay $500. And these indulgence, that is the technical term, these coupons of forgiveness, that was issued by the Pope. But Martin Luther said, no, Pope cannot forgive sins. That too for the money. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, God has can forgive. That's one. So Pope is not infallible. Pope is a human being, and that is it. And the other thing he said, salvation is only through grace, through faith, and through scripture. If you have want to have salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, sola gratia, grace alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola scriptura, through scripture alone. A return to the scripture was that, so the Reformation happened. Then, about 200 years ago, Reformation took place in the Marthoma Church. Abraham Malpan and Kaitav Givargis Malpan, same thing. We did not have indulgences, but we practiced like the Hindus. We kept icons and images in the corner of our farmland so that our fertility will be, crop will be greater. We worshipped idols. Then the missionaries came. We said, open the Bible and read. And then Reformation took place. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura, isn't it? My challenge, the last thing I want to say, to put before you, I have visited these churches. This again, I know it, take it with a pinch of salt when I say this. I have visited all the old parishes. I saw that there were early migrants, many of you sitting here. Then I saw the generation 2 and the 3 also. In many and then in between, there's a fourth group. Here also it is there, I know. Those first migrants filed their applications to bring their relatives, brothers, sisters. They are not first priorities. They took 10 years, 15 years, 20 years to come here. They have come here. So there's a group of young people who are transported from, with parents who are transported from Kerala here. There's a group of elders who are here. They visited here soon after Columbus came. And then we have the children of the first generation who came here, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The dynamics I noticed in these places are the young people ignore the elders. This was a kind of uniform observation. I don't think in this church that may not be acute, but I saw it in Toronto. I saw it in other places. I don't want to name the churches. Young people, it's not generation 2, especially the migrants who came, young people, they want to undermine. What we need is a balance. The old generation, they are full of wisdom. Don't say that we don't need them. We need them. The old, the young, and generation 2 and 3, can we have a church, a reformed church of that sort? Also, I saw that when last time I came to New York, they asked me to do some work with them. So we said, in that church, the young people said, generation 2 said, we want, there are a lot of them. They said, we want our own church service. Elders can worship at 8, 10 o'clock,
to 1 o'clock. We want our church, same church, only at 1 o'clock. We want to worship under the protection and presidency of our own vicar. But our demand is that we want our own vice president, our own secretary, our own financial management system, and we will not play any politics which our fathers, parents play. It was almost working out. When the decision was taken to have these two services, one for generation 2 and 3 and the other for the elders, the Achayans said no. The Achayans, you understand the language? The one who migrated first. They said no, our church will drift away. You see? 120 of them left. So think about this reformation. The time will come when this will become an American Marthoma church. You, as senior friends like me, give way to happen that. Otherwise, this generation will be lost again. After 25 years, you will put a board here saying that, sale. Let that not happen. So, what I am trying to say finally is, if reformation continua, it should be a continuous process. You should not look at Tiruvalla to give guidance for you. I respect authority, sure. You should not look at Tiruvalla to give guidance because they do not know. The metropolitan knows, I know. But I am saying about the assembly, mandalam. They do not know what is happening here. You have to make your own constant renewal. Worship according to the needs of the young generation. Think like they think. At least imagine that you can think that way. So friends, that's all what I want to say. Took longer time than usual. But you'll forgive me for that. God bless you, my young friends. So happy to see your smiling faces. Keep smiling. Okay. And never forget that God, each one of you has, God has a purpose about each one of you. Very special. So God bless you. Let us pray. Anybody assigned to pray?